Good evening. Before we get into our lesson, I wanted to mention something about this morning. I'm not certain exactly what I said, but I do want you to know that I've never had fried mashed potatoes and onions, okay? I hope you figured out it was fried potatoes and onions, okay? That is one of my favorite meals. And I will tell you this extra story. When Charlotte and I were first married, it had to be the first year I got sick. And I was in bed. If I'm in bed, I'm very sick. And Charlotte made me a big plate of fried potatoes and onions. And right as she got to the bed, she kind of stumbled or something and they went down. And I told her, just pick them up, I'll eat them. And I would have. She went all the way downstairs, because we had an upstairs apartment, and cooked a whole new plate. So that's, I do want you to know, since I said that, that Sunday morning, I do not sleep well. I have some kind of disorder sleeping. And I can't control it. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm trying to do things. I've had all kinds of tests. But, I was up last night in the middle of the night, and I have to get up because I get to the point that I'm not sleeping. Part of it is oxygen, and I'm not going to say this again, but I've been on that at night for about a year and a half, and that has its own trouble. So, I hope to be able to preach where it's halfway decent. But if it gets to the point where I'm not able to, I do not have the same memory Sunday morning as I have Sunday night. And so it's a struggle for me. So I wanted to say that, and you keep us in your prayers. Now this evening we continue our study on the Bible. I ask that song be led by Brother Nick, Give Me the Bible. And I thought as we were singing that, some of the men that have been speaking, and hopefully we will have some more volunteers, I was thinking about how good a sermon that would make, but you probably would have to take maybe three verses, okay? Some of you probably could do the five, but if I did the five, it would turn out to about 5 weeks. But that would be a wonderful sermon. Give me the Bible, star of gladness gleaming, to cheer the wanderer lone in tempest toss. No storm can hide that radiance peaceful beaming, since Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And I do want to say I appreciate Richard informing us on that. I had to rest, but I can assure you I will probably see it tonight and look forward to that. That is a wonderful thing for our president to get up and to read from the Bible, is it not? That is a God-sent blessing in my judgment. And I do believe that Richard is right. I believe that people are changing and they're coming back to a certain extent to the Bible. And in my judgment, it will give us some opportunities. Opportunities. I notice we have a sign out here. Y'all notice this big sign. I didn't know whether you realize that, but that's for the preacher. Great big sign out here, great big giant sign. I've been parking in front of that. I asked Charlotte, what does that say? And she said, road work ahead. Now, the reason I'm saying that is we've got a lot of road work. Yeah, I've been parking there. Not a special preacher sign, but we got a lot of road work to do, and this is a wonderful thing in our country. I'm glad to see people, and I believe there are a lot of sincere people, and it should be a blessing on our country and opportunities for us to teach the Bible and bring attention to the Word of God. Said this morning, the word Bible means book. God has but one book. It has been pointed out, and the congregation here has heard this, but some have not probably. If you do an acrostic is where you take the letters like B-I-B-L-E, and you say something for each letter, like Bible, and then that would be like basic, I, instruction, B, before, L, leaving, and E, earth. I like that. Basic instruction before leaving earth. That's what we have, a book of instructions, I would say, before we leave this earth. And there's only one book of spiritual instruction that's inspired. I am thankful for the many books that have been written by individuals that love the Bible and study the Bible. I have many such books and have been blessed by those books. And the more I'm able to read some of them, the more I appreciate the work that people do in reference to teaching the Word of God. But we have a book that instructs us. It's a very fundamental lesson. I probably would be good to preach on it, really, in some form or fashion, every single year, perhaps more than that. But we need to bring attention to it. Sometimes when you talk about the Bible, people say, well, you worship the Bible. No, we emphasize the Bible. In 2 Timothy 3 and 15, they're called the Holy Scriptures. I don't have any other Holy Scriptures in my library. None. Just this. These are the only Holy Scriptures that there are. Holy means they're sacred. They're holy because they come from a holy God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory in Isaiah chapter 6. I have a similar statement in reference to God in the book of Revelation. So we have basic instructions before leaving earth. It's important that God has given us instructions on how to worship Him. So many evidently do not even have a concept of worship that is found in the Bible. It comes from not studying the Bible. You cannot study the Bible without realizing that God has given instructions on how to worship Him and how to be saved. And you would think by the majority of preachers that it doesn't make any difference. One way of salvation is good as another way of salvation. I have zero doubt but that we have members of the church that actually believe that as well. If you do not study the Bible, and I say you or anybody, if you do not study the Bible, you will get to the point where you will be dumbed down and you will believe things like that. You will believe that there's no difference in the churches, no difference in the worship, no difference in how you are saved. It's all right. They've got a good group of people. They've got a nice young group. They've got a real nice preacher and he's got a good wife. Those things are all right. But that's not what we go by. We go by the Holy Scriptures. Hopefully you have other things, but it's the Holy Scriptures. And it's not by taking a poll and finding out how many people teach so-and-so. But unfortunately, in my judgment, that has happened and is even influential in the church. The Bible teaches us how to go to heaven. And of course they say, well, there are many ways to go to heaven. There's only one way, and that's God's way. There's only one God, and the one God only gave one book to instruct us on how to go to heaven. It would be contradictory for God to say, you go in this way, and another person, you go in that way. God does not teach that. And of course, we would be glad to talk about this. If we have those out there, they want to teach that you're saved by just saying a prayer, that would be a good discussion. I would love to have that discussion from the Bible because it would glorify God. It's important that God gives us these instructions, and He gives us instruction in righteousness. We quoted this morning from 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 16. All Scripture, those are the holy ones mentioned in verse 15. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. What do we mean by instruction in righteousness? There are two things that I would think about, especially in the New Testament. The first one is really obvious. Righteousness deals with doing what is right. That has to do with doing what God says. That's a word that represents keeping the commandments of God, to be a righteous person. Now, it is true that we are saved and justified through the merits of the blood and sufferings of Christ, and He declares that we're righteous, but the Bible also teaches in 1 John that the one that does that which is righteous and does God's will is a righteous person. So it has reference to doing right. And in the New Testament, it also has reference to God's plan of righteousness to save mankind. But we would say tonight that in both these areas, whatever areas of righteousness you're talking about, God's book gives us the instruction in righteousness. We need to listen carefully to those instructions. I don't know how many times on your particular job that you have been instructed. For those that have done construction work, it's pretty much every single day. Now, you may know what you're doing, but the boss is going to give you instructions. This is what I want done today. And actually, he tells the foreman, and the foreman, they go out and they have a certain number of workers. Generally, they say the number is 8. But they have a certain number of workers, and they tell the workers, this is what you're doing today. And they instruct them. And if necessary, and sometimes it is, they have to give very specific instructions. And God does that. Sometimes God gives very general instructions, and sometimes they are very specific. When I was doing construction on one job, I worked directly under the superintendent. He said, he called me Danny. He said, Danny, I want you to make me a sign. And I said, okay. And he said, do not enter this room, you will be fired. And I said, you what? He said, do not enter this room, you will be fired. And I said, okay. You know, I question things not very long with my boss, okay? He said, you know why I'm telling you to do that? And I said, no. He said, that's a laboratory. And he says, in that laboratory, he said, they have marble tops. And he says, I know our electricians, and first thing they're going to do is take their belts off with all of their tools on it and slam them on top of that marble. And he said, the only way to keep them out of that room is to tell them, you will be fired. And he said, and I will fire them, okay? So, that's specific. God, He is very specific. Nadab and Abihu in Leviticus 10, 1 and 2. And they offered strange fire before the Lord. One fire is as good as another one, right? You might think so, but only the fire from the altar was holy fire. And they were to get their fire from the altar. And they did not get their fire from the altar, and God sent fire down from heaven, and they were burnt alive. It was so bad, Aaron could not continue to worship God that day, and he had leeway there because he lost 2 of his 4 sons. So yes, God's very serious about doing His will. But you see, if a person's not reading the Bible, that doesn't make any difference to them. If they read the Bible, they would at least say, well, it looks like God's really serious about worshiping Him in spirit and in truth, John 4 and 24. But if you're not reading the Bible, you're just going to be friends of people. You're not seriously. We've mentioned this morning that we are to be diligently serving God. And that diligence means that we are to put a lot of effort into it and have a great desire to be instructed by God's Word. No one can give you that. I wish I could have given that to my children. If they've got it, it's because they've listened to God's Word. In Proverbs 4 and 13, Solomon said, and actually, if you go back and read this context, David taught Solomon this, all right? Solomon's father, David, taught him this. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. take fast hold of instruction, will it? That's what every sermon we have instructions, correct? I can't imagine ever preaching a sermon without some of God's instructions on it. So he says, you take fast hold of that. You keep her, for she is thy life. We just got through singing the second song for today with that expression, one eternal day. That was in the song this morning. Two different songs. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. This diligent is a powerful word. I meet young people from time to time, and I tell them when I see how they operate and how they work, I tell them, don't you ever worry about a job. Don't you ever worry about a job because you're diligent. Today, if you showed up every single day on the job, pretty much, you got a good job. You got a good job. But you have a diligence and you keep your heart with all diligence because the devil will deceive us. He is powerful. We need to pray like Jesus prayed, or taught us to pray, that is. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That's why technically it's not really the Lord's Prayer, except that he taught the prayer. But he never prayed that because forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. He had no sin. But he taught that prayer. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. That's a good prayer every single day or every single night. Because we face temptation every single day. And if we're up, even at night. Again, in Proverbs, just a few, one verse in between, Proverbs 4:25-26. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. I've got a clock, and I like that clock, and it's right in front of me. From time to time, I preach for a congregation, and they have no clock. I don't like that. I'd like to be able to see where I am in reference to the time, so I can look straight out there. Proverbs writer said, you need to look straight. You don't lose your attention when you're looking at something straight. You look at straight before thee. And the next verse says, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. I don't know how many of you have ever had to walk on steel or maybe been up in the air higher, but generally speaking, it's recommended that you not look down a lot. You would be surprised what you could walk on 20, 30, 50 or more feet. You would be surprised what you could walk on if you just walked on it without looking down. Keep your eyes on the road. Ponder the path of your feet. That means think about where you're walking. Think about where you are going. Straight ahead. That's taught in the Bible in Joshua. Turn not to the right hand and don't turn to the left hand. Just stay straight. In Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. What if you're not reading the Bible? Then you don't have light. Your path is darkness. And that's where we are in our country. I know there are many, many people that have no religion in our country, but it has increased to the point where, in my judgment, it's probably reached 30 to 35%. It's never been that way. At least people believed in God and heaven and such things and the Bible, but it's not that way anymore. It's not that way anymore. And that's not saying that everybody else is doing right, but that's saying that we have a large portion of our country that are godless. I don't know how to describe it any better way or other way than we have a lot of ungodly people. And that's why we have all these ungodly things happening in our nation. They have no fear of God. Like we studied this morning, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the holy is understanding, Proverbs 9:10. God wants us to walk in light of His truth, in light of His Word. That's the only way we can dwell in Him and in the light. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, God is light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. This is written to Christians. And when He says it cleanses us, we need a continual cleansing of the blood. And when you're walking in the light, if you've done something wrong, you turn away from it and pray to God. You repent and turn away from it. And then you continue to live the Christian life. Ask for God's help. That's my understanding of walking in the light. It would include following the truth and God's commandments. If there's something that you haven't done that needs to be done, do it. Do the best that you can in this world. This brings us to the ideal that the Bible teaches us about a very, very important subject, the subject of love. For those that are coming on Wednesday evening and are in the Wednesday evening class, remember we have studied a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. I didn't say this, but this is what preachers call that. They call it the badge of discipleship. You know, the police have a badge, sheriff, you know, FBI, they all have badges, right? They all have badges. We have a badge. People see that. That's a badge of discipleship. People see when we have love. They see when we have love one to another when they come into this assembly. And they see whether or not we love them when they come into this assembly. So the Bible teaches that us about love. And it teaches us, and this is the way that I have worded it specifically in this lesson, that God really, really loves us. Could you describe it with any less than that? God loves us, really, really. I guess you understand, but I can't comprehend. I cannot comprehend how much God loves us. I'm sorry. That's just, I can't get a hold of that. I know the Bible teaches it, and it touches us, but, you know, while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world, such a small word, it's an adverb of manner. How much did God love us? So loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's a lot of love. I feel like David when David said, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him, in Psalm 8. How does God look down upon us? And we sing about it, and it's in the book of Psalms, that God is mindful of us. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches you can't even number all the thoughts that God has about us. That's humbling. And He says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved. It's parallel, our preaching tonight, this morning, anytime we're preaching. It's parallel with the preaching before the flood. The Bible makes this illustration. Matthew 20:24, 2 Peter 3, many, many places. You have this parallel that you have the people that were not prepared when the flood came. And we have that Noah is called a preacher of righteousness. And they did not listen to the preacher of righteousness. And God, there was a period, as I understand it, about 120 years in which the Spirit of God was striving with man through the preaching. And that's how the Spirit strives with man today. I'm supposed to preach in July at a congregation, Crandall, in Shady Valley. My subject is the work of the Holy Spirit, and that's going to be a very important point. It would be good to start right there with Noah. The Spirit of God strives with people. That's what we have. We have these words tonight from the Bible. So God has this great love, and I've decided that we're going to have a little briefer lesson tonight. I don't believe that any of you will complain. But if we have so much as one complaint, I will come back next week and we'll satisfy you on Sunday night. We'll do an hour and a half, okay? I'm glad that you have a good sense of humor. It's hard to go through life without enjoying it. That's one of the points that is in this lesson we didn't get to, but we will, Lord willing. There's a rejoicing that we have in the Lord. If you're not a Christian, this is the time to rejoice. There's water back here. It's heated. That's ready. If you want to go to a river, we'll go to the river. If you want to go to the lake, we'll go to the lake. If you are afraid, we'll get several men in that water at the same time, and I've had to do that. I've had to do that. We will make it where you can be baptized into Christ tonight. You put him on. Is that not important? Galatians 3:27-29. Baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. You don't put him on in just faith. You don't put him on in just repentance or even confessing him. You put him on when you are baptized into Christ. Till then, you're outside of Christ where salvation is. So we encourage you, if you are not a Christian, become one. If you're an erring child of God, if you need prayers, let us know as we stand and as we sing.